Hello. Welcome to Healing House Radio. Dr. Eileen is out of the studio today, so I'm going to play for you the most popular episode based upon archive listen. This episode was first aired on February 21st. The topic is right relationship. What does it mean to be in right relationship with our family, our friends, or ourselves? And here is our pre-recorded message. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. For those of you who would like to call in and ask a question, the guest call-in number for our friends down in the L.A. area is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including all of those here in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free call-in number is 877-697-9725. You can also log in to the chat room where producer Kina is hanging out, waiting for folks to show up. If you have a question, you can just go ahead, type it in, and she'll make sure it gets to me. So, today we're talking about right relationship. And this is a really interesting phrase because the idea of being in right relationship is one that has a lot of different facets to it. And it can mean different things to different people on both a spiritual and a cultural level. When we look at the idea of being in right relationship in many of the indigenous traditions, it is an idea or concept of walking gently on the earth, of being in a place of both giving and receiving in a very natural, balanced relationship with the planet and with our natural resources. Right relationship can also be an aspect of our interpersonal relationships and, in fact, also in our relationship with ourselves. So what I'm going to be focusing on today is from that relationship point of view, from that place of what exactly is the right relationship to have with different people who hold different places in our lives. So when we look at right relationship from our personal level, from our relationship with ourselves, and keep in mind, every relationship that you have had, do have, or will ever have starts with the relationship that you have with yourself. The perspective that you hold about who you are in this world is directly related to how you relate to other people, how they react to you. What you put out is what comes back in. If you are in a situation where your relationship with yourself is not right, maybe you don't feel you're in integrity with yourself, it makes it really hard to be in integrity in a relationship with someone else. And ultimately, what we look for in right relationship is a sense of balance. It's a sense of equilibrium. It's a sense that what you give to someone else is equal to what you receive from them. It's not about always being in that place of giving or always being in that place of receiving. And I'm sure we all know a lot of folks who can fall into, you know, not only that central part of the spectrum, but those places of extremes. And we all have that friend who seems to really kind of look for interaction with us when they're having a problem or when they're having an issue. And it becomes a place of you see their number on the phone and you go, oh, dear God, because you know it's going to be a vent fest that you're going to be okay, all right, well, this is what we need to do, this is, these are my suggestions, and they love it, they're happy with it, and then as soon as you hang up, it's, they go right back to their paradigm. And then they call you up again and say, oh, I need you to put me together again. And it's like, oh, I feel so good. Bye. So the idea of having an equal exchange of energy, and that is a concept that when I first began learning about a lot of these spiritual or personal growth pieces, one of the main things that was brought up is an equal exchange of energy. Am I receiving an equitable amount based on what I'm giving? And just because you have those relationships with folks who maybe tend to take a little bit more than they give in the relationship, it does not mean the relationship is bad. It's not good. It's not bad. And understand, I am placing no judgment on whatever is a right relationship in your mind, because that's the most important thing. It's not about what I deem a right relationship or an equitable relationship. It's not about what your friends think a right or equitable relationship is. Ultimately, it's about you. It is about how you hold it. What is your relationship with that person? And if that feels right to you, it's perfect. If it's good for you, I love it for you. And you don't have to explain it. You don't have to justify it. Somebody else may look at the relationship and say, well, you know what, there's enabling going on here. But if that's not how you view it, it is nobody's business but yours, how you deal with that. So I want to get that clear. This is not about, oh, well, Dr. Eileen is saying that, you know, this is not a healthy, equitable relationship. That's not for me to decide or for anyone else to decide. That is for you to work through. And you know what? Sometimes the aspects that we get from a relationship are very subtle. It's not always obvious. Sometimes what we get out of a relationship is wisdom. And maybe it's a teaching by contraindication. Maybe it's, okay, these are all the things that I do not appreciate in a relationship. Or these are all the ways of being that I really don't want to carry. You would not know that if you weren't in a relationship that brings those aspects out. If there's something you're not liking about a relationship, the first thing that you need to do, which is really the hardest piece, is, okay, if I don't like this aspect, what's my payoff for staying in it? And it may be, well, this person is always calling me up, they're always talking about themselves, they really don't seem interested in what I'm going through, and this allows me to work on stepping outside of myself. This relationship allows me to take a look at those things that I don't like within myself but that are embodied in someone else. Because ultimately, the stuff that irritates us most about other people are those qualities that we really don't like within ourselves. If you have a friend that is late for everything, that is just never on time, and doesn't even give you the courtesy of a call, and it irritates you, how is that translated into when you do it? Do you get real? It's like, man, I hate when I'm not on time, and you're driving to someplace, and you know you're going to be late, and you're speeding, and it just really irritates you. Well, a lot of times other people are the ones to demonstrate that to us. And we can work those self pieces from the outside. It's almost like as if you were sitting down next to yourself and having a conversation. So it may be that that relationship holds an aspect of right relationship. It's just the perspective of what the relationship is defined as. And it's really important to have a clear idea, because one person's definition of a relationship could be totally different from another person's definition. And it gets tricky when those two people are in a relationship together. And there's conflict. They cannot be in right relationship because they have not clearly defined what each one of them thinks is a relationship. sometimes someone will think a relationship is, you know, there's emotional intimacy, there's deep commitment, there's, you know, forever after, you know, happily ended and all this other stuff. Where another person could think, you know what, right relationship or a relationship is where each person is allowed to kind of do their thing, they're allowed to be themselves, and you're there in it for as long as you wish. And then you just move on because relationships are not meant to be permanent. They're meant to be for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Many of you may have heard that phrase, that people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Each one of those is a different definition of a relationship. Not any, you know, one of them is incorrect. They're all correct, but they're just looked at from a different perspective. There's an old story about five wise men who were blindfolded and were told that they had to be able to describe an elephant, but they couldn't see it. They had to just touch it. So each one was put at a different spot on the elephant. One was placed at the trunk. Another one was placed at the side. One was placed at the leg. One was placed at the tail. And another one was told to touch the ear. So each one of them, from their personal perspective, gathered, based on the tools that they had and the information available to them, what an elephant looked like. So they were taken out of the room, their blindfolds were removed, and they were told, each told, okay, you tell me what an elephant looks like. Well, the one placed at the trunk said, well, an elephant is large and sinuous, and it moves around, and an elephant looks very much like a giant snake. Well, the one that was placed at the tail said, well, you're sort of right, but, you know, it's not that big, and it doesn't move. It only moves really side to side and sort of around. It's not sinuous at all. You're absolutely wrong. Well, the one that was placed at the side said, well, you're both wrong. An elephant looks like a giant wall. That's what it is. It's large. It's got a slight curve to it, so it's sort of a slightly bent wall, but it's hard and it's very rough to the touch, but it's very thick. Well, the one that was placed at the leg said, well, you guys are all wrong. An elephant looks exactly like a tree trunk. It's large. It's round. It is rough, but it's very solid, and it just, you know, you can get your arms around it, and that's what an elephant looks like. Well, the man who had touched the ear said, you are all wrong. An elephant looks like a giant fan. You know, it has a very thin aspect to it. It feels very delicate, and there's a slightly, you know, thicker edge to it, but it flaps back and forth, but it's tremendously delicate, and that's what an elephant looks like. Each and every one of them was correct, and each and every one of them was wrong. They were correct in that each one of them were able to describe an aspect. Where the conflict comes is the fact that none of them were willing to concede the possibility that anyone else's description was correct. They felt, each one felt, based on what they knew, that their perspective was the correct perspective because there was no consensus on how it was to be defined. So how does that relate to relationships? Relationships are very much like examining an elephant blindfolded. You're going based on an aspect of it that you have an experience with. And it may be someone else has a different relationship with relationships. So from their perspective, no, it's not that, it's this. So knowing that we have all these different perspectives, all these different ways of being, and all of these different stories that we bring with it, how can we be in right relationship with one another? For me, I find it easiest first to figure out how I'm defining relationship. and looking at my primary relationship, which is the one I have with myself. How do I view me? How do I walk in this world with myself? Do I look in the mirror and do I look and see someone who I admire? Do I look and see someone who disappoints me? Do I look and see the child aspect of myself who wants to be protected and is excited about learning new things and maybe a little bit naive and a little bit trusting, maybe a little bit too naive and too trusting? Or do I look in that mirror and do I see all of the accumulated wisdom and pain and joy that I've had and how that affects the way that I look at the world? Do I look at the world as a place that is dangerous and hurtful and ill-meaning towards me? Do I look at the world with distrust? Do I look at the world from the perspective of the bad things that happen in it? Or do I look at the world as a place of infinite possibility, from that place of belief that ultimately every being is a divine being having a human experience, and that at the heart of each and every one of us lies compassion and divinity and that connection with spirit? Or do I see an entire spectrum where those would be the two far ends of the spectrum, but depending on the day I've had, depending on how I feel about myself, depending on how I feel that I have been in authenticity with who I believe I am, I could see many different things. And being in right relationship is not a static thing. It flows like water. It flows like water depending on the relationship we have with each individual person. And all of that is based on the relationship we have with ourselves. Are we going to feel closer to the person who is more critical of us because we have a tendency to be critical of ourselves? So that is the reflection that we want. That is the response and connection and resonance. Well, you know what? I feel that, you know, I'm not the person I could be. Maybe I'm not as punctual as I could be. Maybe I don't feel I'm in integrity as much as I should be. So if I connect with someone who is that sounding board for me, it's like, you know what, are you sure you're being in integrity about this? Someone who questions me. Yeah, I will probably want to hang out with that person more because that's the person who's going to constantly draw me back into that place of integrity by questioning it. By questioning me, it creates that environment of me questioning myself, which allows me to be able to be my best because I don't get to get away with anything. Now, that whole relationship scenario, there's nothing wrong with it. Or if I am someone who only wants to see the best in the world, who wants to be able to go out and smell the flowers and look in the sunshine and just view the whole world as this wonderful garden, my right relationship would be, you know, probably someone who either completely holds that resonance so the two of us can hold that space together. And maybe if I have a day where I'm not feeling particularly flowery and rosy and all this other stuff, the fact that they hold that, they can look, hey, come on, it's not so bad. It's a good thing. It's great. Don't worry about it. And then they bring me back into my place of, oh, okay, yeah, you know, let's go back out into the garden. Or maybe I'll seek somebody who is going to balance that by saying, you know, yeah, it's okay, but, you know, let's look at the reality of this. It depends on what it is that you want from that relationship. How does it bring you into balance? And it could be bringing you into balance by supporting where you're at, or it could bring you into balance by being that counterbalance. And each one of those relationships are correct. and are perfect. And one person is not meant to be all of those right relationships. It is very difficult to expect someone to be able to counterbalance us in each and every way that we need to be counterbalanced. And it is really very difficult to try to be that person who is all things to that other person. I have friends who I love to go out with and be silly and make noise and dance and all of that stuff. And they're very dear to me. And we have a lot of fun. And I have people in my life who are there as a quiet influence, that when I'm too up and too silly, you know, I catch a glance from them like, okay, dial it back a little bit. You know, we need to be in this work. We need to be in this place of prayer. We need to be in this place of focus. And it's like, okay, right. And I can slide into that place of, you know, that deeper, more quiet sense of spirituality, that slightly more somber aspect of it. My goofy friends are not going to be able to hold that space for me. Does that mean that I'm not in right relationship with them? Absolutely not. It just means that the right relationship with them looks a particular way. It's a particular flavor. All of our relationships are right relationships. Or at the very least, they have that capacity. The important piece is figuring out what part of right relationship is specific for that individual. Sometimes we have right relationship and best relationship with our pets, our dogs, our cats, our birds. All of those things, all of those qualities that we look for, that unconditional acceptance, that comes very easy from a dog. That comes very easy from a cat. And if I can make a plug in this moment for people, if you are looking for a pet, please go find one that's been abandoned, one that needs fostering. You know, when you're going out to look for an animal, if you want to really feel like you want to find a right relationship with an animal, go to a shelter. Contact one of the animal rescue groups, because being able to find right relationship with something that you can step in and have an equitable relationship, an exchange of energy. They help you find balance. You help them find balance. So that's my big plug. If you're looking for a pet, if you're looking for, you know, a being to share your life, it's not about them taking on all your stuff, because that isn't right relationship either. You know, they're not there to make you feel better. They're there to help you grow. They're there by agreement that you two are going to take care of each other. So, you know, right relationship can be found in many different beings. Right relationship can be found with a beautiful sequoia. You go out and you walk out in the woods and you see a massive, beautiful tree that it you feel pulled to just sit there and hold and put your arms around and feel its strength. You can find right relationship by sitting next to a stream and resonating with that frequency with it. But when we talk about right relationships with people, remember, it starts with your relationship with yourself. Every morning when I put out my prayers, I would put out that if I, by thought, word, or deed, project harsh energy at any being, that I ask forgiveness from them, from creation, and I ask that that energy go through a beautiful filter of love and grace and becomes an exponential blessing of whatever it is that they need. And I would say that prayer for years and years and years. And then finally one day I thought, and what I would do is I would say, especially, and I would start naming off the people that I was most likely to have a harsh thought about and really setting that intention especially for them. And it wasn't until recently that I started including myself, because really if there's anybody who I was going to think harshly about more likely than anybody else, it was going to be me. And by doing that, I began looking at what is my right relationship with myself. And through that, finding out and figuring out a way to be in right relationship with the people around me. It doesn't mean that I spend all my time trying to make them happy. Because sometimes when you're in right relationship with somebody, it's a relationship where you learn through challenge. You learn through those hard places. It's not about enabling. It's not about everything they do being okay. And it's not about them enabling you or everything you do, you know, being okay. It's about authenticity. It's about, can I really be myself in one of my aspects of myself, whether it's my child self, whether it's my spiritual self, whether it's my elder self, whether it's the part of me that wants to nurture or the part of me that needs nurturing. How, in my relationship with this person, can I be in a balanced state and find right relationship? And it's through that doorway that we can not only find right relationship with our families, our friends, even the people who irritate us, because we can also hold right relationship with them. But the first relationship to find right relationship with is yourself. I want to thank everybody for joining me. I thank all of those who log into the archives, which has gotten to almost 5,000 a month. We'll log into the archives and listen to my programs. And, you know, if you're doing that, blessings to you, and I thank you for that. And send me out an email. Let me know if there's a particular topic that you would like me to go over, or if there's a particular question that you would like me to address. So you can send those emails to Healing House Radio, all one word, at the-healing-house.com. You can also find out more about me through my business website, which is www.the-healing-house.com. For those of you who are involved with meetup.com, you can find me at The Druids Grove on meetup.com, and that talks about the druidic type of stuff that I do and the classes that I teach. So if you are local at any one of these events, please come by, and if at anything that I'm at, if you come up and say you're a Healing House Radio listener, you will get a copy of my book for free. And we will keep you posted as far as my new book, which is going to be called Frequencies for the Healer, which comes from the premise that we are all healers because we all act to shift the energy and balance of each other. We're an interactive species. We are at our best when we're in relationship with others. And whether that's a relationship that is meant to teach through very hard, or whether or not that's a relationship that comes from that place of selflessness, it comes from that place of healing, we're all healers. If you have ever, you know, helped a child stand up, or maybe, you know, a kid who's lost in a store, and you look at him and say, well, it's okay. If you've ever been there for a friend, if you've ever held someone's hand while they cried, being able to offer them nothing more than holding their hand and being in that space with them, you're a healer. And so this next book is going to be talking about aspects of that and integrating things like spiritual energy and energies from the aspects of the world around you, fire, water, earth, and air. So I'm going to be very excited when that comes out, so we should look for that this spring. And in the meantime, I will be back next Thursday, 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And I welcome you to join me in whatever topic we're going to be doing. And like I said, if you would like to suggest a topic, shoot out an email, and we will address it. And I'm even fairly spontaneous, so even if you call in and suggest one, we can go with that. So until next time, I wish you blessings and love. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Bye-bye.